那
快乐的卡一直接聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年6月29号星期六，我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨提亚德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听。 Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China and Thailand and wherever.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，泰国的奉献者们，还有世界各地的奉献者们，大家早晨好。
Thank you for joining our Srimad Bhagavatam class this morning.
感谢大家来参加今天早上的瓦坛的早课。
And we will continue our reading on the life and history of Ajamil.
我们会继续的来阅读阿加米勒的生平。
But before we do that, we will chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
不过在此之前，我们先一起来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava.
So now you're in your new house, and I can hear birds, but I don't hear a dog.
Oh, great! Yeah, there is no dog around.
Good. Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dali Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Rajana Yamunati Ravana ChariYamunati Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana VallabhaGirivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Rajana Yamunati Ravana ChariYamunati Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gita Gopi Nandari Hari Bol Okay, soToday, we are on Canto 6, Chapter 2, and Verse 26.
所以今天我们一起来学习一下瓦坛的第六篇第二章第二十六十节。
And now in the story, Ajamil, he's alone.
那么在故事发展到现在这个地方，阿加米勒就是独自一人了。
The Yamadutas haveGone back to the abode of Yamaraj, all disappointed and embarrassed.
而 Yamaduta 们都已经回到了阎罗王的这个地方，然后很所有人都非常的失望，然后都非常的觉得
And they're also very confused, and they have a lot of questions for Yamaraj, their boss.
并且他们都感到非常困惑，有很多的问题想要问他们的老板，问他们的上司。
And the Vishnudutas, they liberated Ajamil from the ropes of the Yamadutas, and they've also disappeared.
而 Vishnuduta 也把阿加米勒从 Yamaduta 的绳索当中拯救了出来，然后他们也一起消失了。
So Ajamil, he was supposed to die and go to hell, but he didn't go to hell and he hasn't died. He's still in his old man's body.
而阿姜米勒本来是应该死亡去到地狱星球的，但是的话这一切都没有发生，他依然还处于他这个年老的一个男性的躯体当中。
Yeah, he has an old man's body like me.
然后他和我一样都有一具年老的男性的躯体。
Changing bodies.
一具不断在变化着的躯体。
So that's where we are in the story.
所以这就是我们故事进展到现在的这个地方了。
So now we will read text 26 of Canto 6, Chapter 2.
因此我们现在一起来读一下第六篇第二章的第二十六十节。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ahome Paramam Kastam Abud Avijita Mana Yena Viplavitam Brahma Vishalyam Jayatatmana Aho.
Aye.
me
我的
paramam
极为
kashtam
悲惨的状况
abut
变成
avijita atmana
由于我的感官未受控制
yena
被什么什么的
viplavitam
破坏
brahma
我所有的 brahma 品格
Rishalyam
透过一个 Shudrani
and that also says a maidservant.
Oh, sorry. 透过一个 Vidrani 一个女仆
Jayata
被生下
Atmana
有我
okay, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.Ajamil said, Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute.
译文和要旨由圣恩 A.C. Bhaktivedanta 说。嗨，作为感官奴仆的我沦落到何等地步，我作为一个有正式有资格的 Brahmana 堕落到与一个妓女生孩子的地步。 I continue with purport.
Yes, please.
Okay. 要指 Brahmana 婆罗门刹帝利和 Vaisha 这些高等阶层的人不会透过低阶层女人的子宫生孩子，因此伟达社会中的习俗是通过占星考虑结婚的男女双方是否适合结婚。伟达占星学揭示出，一个人根据受物质自然三重属性的影响，是具有 Brahmana 的品性、刹帝利的品性、Vaisha 的品性还是 Sudra 的品性，必须做这种检查。因为具有 Brahmana 品性的男孩不适合娶具有 Sudra 品性的女孩，那对夫妻双方来说都将是痛苦的。因此应该是同一种类的男女才适合结婚，当然这是按伟达经从物质的角度考虑问题，做这样的考量。奉献者是超然的，所以奉献者之间的婚姻对男女双方来说都是十分快乐的组合。 End of report.
Wow, very interesting. Om Aganata Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurumilitam Ninatas Main Shri Gurave Namaha. Offer my humble obeisances to my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
我谦卑地顶拜我的灵性导师 A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
And I was born in the darkest of ignorance.
我诞生于愚昧的黑暗之中。
And my spiritual master...is forcing my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge.
而我的灵性导师用知识的火炬强迫地照亮了我的双眼。
I keep closing my eyes, but he keeps forcing them open.
我持续地让自己的眼睛紧紧地闭着，但是他却持续地狠狠地想要狠狠地打开我的双眼。
And I offer my humble obeisances to all of our, previous gurus and great saints and acharyas.
并且我谦卑地顶拜所有之前的灵性导师和圣人和 acharya 们。
And I pray that we can all open ourselves to them because they're always shining their merciful light upon us.
并且我祈祷我们都能够把自己敞开来接受他们仁慈的光芒的照耀。
And with their help, we pray that we can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam.
祈祷能够得到他们的帮助，来帮助我们理解圣典博迦瓦坛。
And I offer my humble obeisances to all the listeners today on the internet who have gathered to hear Srimad Bhagavatam together.
并且我也谦卑地顶拜今天聚在网上一起来聆听这堂早课的所有的奉献者们。
This is congregational chanting.
这一个就是齐聚圣名。
And this is how we worship the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya in this age and please him.
并且这也是我们在这个年代来共同崇拜主的化身，来一起的取悦他。
May all living beings be happy.
愿所有的生物体都快乐。
May all living beings be purified by this sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam.
愿所有的生物体都被圣典博迦瓦坛的神圣的声音震动所净化。
So, today's verse, purport, the subject is marriage.
因此今天这一堂课的诗节和要旨的话谈到的主题就是婚姻。
So now Ajamil is speaking. Of course, Narada Muni is telling this story to Yudhisthira.
当然在这一块是 Narada Muni 和这个 Yudhisthira 在谈话的这样一个内容。
And that story is being told by Sukadev Goswami to Prickett.
Narada Muni talking to 而 Narada Muni 这个谈话的内容的话呢，又是由 Sukadev Goswami 对这个 Parikshit 王所说的话语。
So Sukadev Goswami is answering the questions of Prickett Maharaj by telling him the story of various conversations that Narada Muni and Yudhisthira had.
而Sukadeva Goswami 在回答 Parikshita 王，然后通过来讲述这个 Narada Muni 和 Yudhisthira 之间的这场谈话来回答他的问题。
So in the story now, Ajamil is speaking.
那么在故事进展到这个地方的话，就是阿加米勒在说话。
And of course, he's speaking to himself.
当然在这里是阿加米勒在自言自语。
Because nobody else is there.
因为当时在场的就只有他一个人，其他人都已经消失了。
Do you ever speak to yourself?
你会不会对自己说话呢？
I think most of us have a constant dialogue going on in our mind.
我相信我们大多数人的话呢，心意里面都是在持续不断地进行着一场对话的。
It's the internal dialogue.
这种内在的谈话。
The false ego is talking to itself.
假我就是在跟他自己说话。
So, we mentioned that Ajamil, actually now he's starting to talk to himself.
那么在这里就是阿加弥勒开始跟他自己说话了。
And, he's exhibiting the symptoms of a real devotee.
并且他展示出了一个真正的奉献者的品质。
Which is a real devotee is honest.
那就是真正的奉献者是非常诚实的。
And takes responsibility for past mistakes.
并且能够对过去所犯下的错误承担起责任。
And so a devotee understands that in the past I caused so much pain to others.
所以说奉献者会明白在过去曾经我曾经对别人犯下了很大的伤害。
And a devotee admits that and asks forgiveness.
所以说奉献者会承认这一点并且请求得到原谅。
Also, if we don't, it's said, if we don't learn from our past mistakes, then we are destined to repeat them.
并且的话如果我们没有从过去的错误吸取教训那么也必然会在未来继续犯下同样的错误。
Yeah, so now, Ajamil, really, he's evaluating his life up until this point.
所以说到现在所以说阿扎米勒就是在评价着到现在这一刻他的人生是怎样的。
And he's seeing the mistake that he made.
他看到了自己曾经犯下的错误。
A critical mistake.
一个非常关键的这样一个错误。
He remembers that actually he was born in a Brahmin family, a qualified Brahmin family, and he had a great opportunity to awaken spiritually.
他记忆起他曾经是诞生于一个非常合格的婆罗门家庭的，然后他有这样一个了不起的一个机会，能够真正在灵性上得以觉醒。
But he fell down and he engaged in illicit sex life. With an unqualified woman.
然而他却堕落了，和一个没有资格的女性发生了这种非法性行为。
Yeah, so in the Vedic culture, especially, men and women, when they got married, they had to marry a man or a woman from their same class.
那么特别是根据韦达文化来说的话呢，当男性和女性结婚的时候，他们必须要考虑结婚的对象是和他们自己是来自于同一阶层的。
And according to this purport, and according really to the scripture, one's classification in the Varnashram was not determined by birth, but what is determined by one's qualities.
根据这个地方的要旨并且根据经典来看的话呢就说这个灵性四阶层社会四制度和灵性四阶层 Varnashram 它对人的这个分类并不是根据其出身而是根据一个人的品质的。
So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that actually he's the creator of the system.
而 Krishna 在《瑜伽梵歌》当中就说到，实际上他就是这个制度的创造者。
And one is a Brahmin, classified as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Sudra, according to the nature they exhibit.
那么 Krishna 在《瑜伽梵歌》当中就说到，一个人他之所以被划分为是婆罗门、是刹帝利还是 Vaishya 还是这个 Sudra， 那么都是由他所展示出来的。本质或者展示出来的天性所决定的。
So it was normally a Brahmin would marry a Brahmin or a Kshatriya would marry a Kshatriya.
那么在正常情况下，婆罗门会和婆罗门结婚，刹帝利会和刹帝利结婚。
And this was very important, not only for the creation of.Healthy offspring, but also of ultimately for the happiness of the couple.
那么这样的考虑点的话呢，就是选和自己同一阶层的人结婚。那么不仅对于创造出健康的后代是非常重要的，并且对于婚姻当中双方的幸福也是同等重要的。
And Prabhupada mentions the importance of astrology in this purport.
并且帕在这个要旨当中还提到了这个占星学的这个重要性。
So, what, of course, one way to observe if a woman or a man is a Kshatriya Brahmin or a Sudra is to observe them and see what kind of qualities they exhibit.
那么当然就是去观察一个人判断一个人的品质的话呢就是去看一看观察一下他所展示出来的是 婆罗门的品质，还是刹帝利，还是歪下，还是苏扎的品质。
And these qualities are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna in the 18th chapter.
并且这些品质也是由 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》的第十八章当中都一一提到了的。
But another way to determine the qualities of a man or a woman is to look at their birth chart according to astrology.
而另一个来确定一个男人或者是一个女人的这样一个品质的话呢，一种方式就是去看一看他的出生的这个星盘。
So let's read the qualities that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna of the qualities of a Brahman.Or Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra.
那么我们就一起来看一看，在《薄伽梵歌》当中 ，Krishna 所提到的这个关于婆罗门、刹帝利、Vaishya 和 Sudra 的他们分别的品质有些什么。
So you'll find this in the 18th chapter, starting with verse 41.
大家可以看到，就是《薄伽梵歌》十八章从四十一诗节开始就开始谈到这些品质了。
And then.We'll read these qualities, and then we'll keep these qualities in mind.
然后我们一起来读这些品质，然后把这些品质记忆在自己的脑海里。
And when a Vedic astrologer makes the chart of a boy or a girl, these qualities will show up in the chart.
而当一位这个伟大的占星师的话呢，去看到一个男孩或者是一个女孩的这种星盘的话呢，就能够得以去。看到，那么他们会展现出来这些四阶层的哪些怎样的品质
？Okay, so first we'll read verse 41, where Krishna explains that one is classified by qualities, not by birth.
那么我们先来看一下十八章的第四十一诗节 ，Krishna 就说到这个来判断是属于哪一个阶层的，那么就是看的是本质，而不是看的是出身。
Brahmana Kshatriya Vishyam Sudranam Cha Parantapa Karmani Pavibhaktani Swabhava Prabhavir Gunai. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes of chastiser of the enemy.
18.41 译文陈迪者呀。Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya 和 Sudra 按照各自与物质形态一致的本性所产生的品质而彼此相异。
Of course, this Vedic system is degraded in the Kali Yuga, and now it's become an artificial caste system.
当然的话呢，在这里所谈到的这个伟大的这种制度，在卡利年代已经堕落了，然后现在已经变成了一个这种种姓制度了。
So when we hear this verse from Bhagavad Gita, we shouldn't think that these classification of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudras are only applicable to India. Actually, it's universal, and you will find these four types of human beings everywhere in the world.
那么当然我们在看到这个薄伽梵歌的这个诗节的时候要明白一点，就是对于这个人的这种分类的话呢，那么不仅仅只是运用在印度的，实际上这种分类就是婆罗门、歪下、沙地利还是苏转，那么它是一种普世的一种原则，是大家可以看到就是在全世界各个地方的人的话呢，都会展现出这四种品质。
Yeah, so in every society, you'll find intelligent intellectuals that really it's their ideas that dominate society.
那么在每一个社会，大家都能够看到那些非常聪明的知识阶层的这些人，就是这种对知识方面的，那他们的这种观点，他们的想法可以说是主导了整个社会。
And you'll find those who are.Like Kshatriyas who are heroic and naturally can protect others.
并且也会看到有那些刹帝利的存在，然后他们是非常有英雄品质的，就天生想要去保护别人。
Yeah. Even if they were born in a Sudra family, they might be a Kshatriya.
那么即便可能一个刹帝利是出生在 Sudra 的这个家庭，那么他可能也是一个刹帝利。
And then you'll find those who are just very good at business, and that's all they think about is making money.
并且大家会看到有那些非常擅长于做生意的人，然后他们所想的一切就是怎么赚钱。
And then you'll find others who don't want any responsibility, they just want to work hard for someone else.
并且的话大家还会看到这样一群人，就是他们不想承担起任何的这种责任，只想要为某一个人打工。
Yeah, they're happy just working.
他们仅仅对于自己有工作就感到非常快乐了。
Especially manual labor.
特别是对于自己从事的这种体力方面的工作的话呢，是已经干到已经足够了。
Yeah, so we should understand these four categories of human beings, they're everywhere.
因此我们应该要理解到，就是关于人类的这四种品质的话呢，是在世界各地都存在着的。
Okay, so 42, Krishna describes the qualities of a Brahman.
在42师节 Krishna 就谈到了Brahmana 婆罗门的这些品质。
Sammo Dhamma Sataso Cham Shantir Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astigyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam Peacefulness, Self-Control, Austerity, Purity, Tolerance, Honesty, Knowledge, Wisdom and Religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which Brahmins work.
四十二师节，勤和、自治、苦行、纯洁、宽恕、正直、知识、智慧、虔诚，这些就是 Brahmana 婆罗门赖以活动的品性。
Now 43 describes the martial class.
然后四十三师节的话呢，就谈到了这个军事阶层的这些人的品质。
Sauryam Tejo Jitir Daksham.Yujay Chop Yakulam Manam Danam Ishvara Bhavascha Shatram Karma Swabhavajam Heroism, Power, Determination, Resourcefulness, Courage in Battle, Generosity, and Leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas.
四十三，英武有力，果决足智，勇驰沙场。慷慨大度，领袖风采，这些就是刹帝利活动的自然品质。
And verse 44 describes the qualities of the Vaishyas and the Sudras.
然后44师节就描述了 Vaishya 和 Sudra 的品质。
Shirshi Goraksham Vanijam Paricharya Makam Karma Sudras Yapi Swabhavajam.Farming, cow protection, business are the natural work for the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, there is labor and service to others.
四是农作、保护奶牛、贸易，这些是 Vaishya 的天然活动，服务和劳力。
So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that it's important that a man and womanhave similar qualities. They should get married to someone with similar qualities. Otherwise, just practically speaking, they won't be very happy together.
所以说帕帕在要旨当中就提到，男性和女性在结婚的时候，他们应该要有这种相似的品质。否则的话呢，如果两个人差异太大，那么从实际层面上来说，就不太可能这婚姻会很幸福。
So it's a very practical idea that before marriage, you have to find a qualified astrologer to do your chart and see if you'll be compatible with this person. Because you won't know, people don't really know each other until they live together.
因此的话呢，就说这是一个非常实际的一个想法，一种做法，那就是在结婚之前，然后先去找资格的占星师来看一看双方是不是契合，是不是匹配的。因为实际上就是在两个人真正生活在一起之前，他们并不能说是能够足以了解对方的。
In many cultures, not only in India.And it still goes on. Most marriages are arranged by family members and friends, and the man and the woman really don't know each other before they get married.
然后就在很文化当中，仅仅是在印度，就是现在的一种做法，就是都是这种就是父母就是所安排的这种婚姻，然后因此所安排的这种婚姻的话呢，就是使得男女双方在结婚之前都根本不了解对方。
And there's a certain logic, you know, behind it that the parents and the friends, they know the boy, they know the girl better than they know themselves because they've watched them their whole life.
然后并且这样的做法的话呢，实际上它的背后是有一套逻辑存在的，因为父母和朋友的话呢，实际上是怎么说，一直观察着自己的子女或者是这位朋友，然后他一直看到这个眼里当中这个人是怎样的，因此他很清楚他有怎样的一种品质。
So even today, they have a sort of arranged marriage system in Japan. This, of course, they still have it in India.
那甚至是在今天的话呢，就是说日本也依然有这种父母安排的这种婚姻的存在。当然，在日本，在印度更加如此了。
Yeah, the system in Japan is called omiai.
Omiai. It's English.
No, it's Japanese. Omiai.
So, 所以说在日本的话呢，这种父母安排的婚姻这种形式的话呢，就被叫做 omiai, 这个是一个日语。
So, miai literally means to meet and see.
Oh, miai, meet and see. 所以说这个在日本的话呢，他们这种就是叫 miai 的一种方式的话，就是去相亲，然后去见面。
Yeah, so,It's very intentional.
所以它是一种非常有目的的这样一种做法。
You know, maybe your aunt or uncle says, you know, I know the boy just for you.
比如说有可能你的家人，然后你叔叔就对你说，哎，我就刚好认识这个男孩，就特别适合你。
There's a background check of him and his family.
然后就会开始进行对这个男孩的背景调查，然后对他家人的这个了解是什么样的。
And you get the, you know, the picture of this potential boy.
然后你会拿到这个有可能和你结婚的这个男孩的照片。
And all their likes and dislikes.
然后了解到这个人喜欢什么，不喜欢什么。
What they believe, what they don't believe.
然后他信仰什么，然后不相信什么。
And then you decide if you want to meet them or not.
然后你就来决定你是要不要见这个人。
But you're not just going to meet them just to enjoy a good time.
但是你和这个人见面却并不是说只是为了在一起欢度时光而已。
Yeah, you meet them with the intention, that, you know, I may spend the rest of my life with this person. Are we compatible?
所以说两个人见面的这样一种目的，这样一种意图的话呢，就是有可能我会和你共度余生，那么你是不是真的是适合我的那个人呢？
And you meet with a chaperone present.
With a what? Present?
A chaperone means another person, you know, so that there's no hanky-panky.
所以说的话呢，并且两个这个可能结婚的这男女双方的话呢，在相见的时候还会有另外第三个人坐在那里。
And they're allowed to meet, you know, a few times until they can decide, yes, this person is good or not.
然后并且他们被允许可以就是在做出决定之前先见面好几次。然后来确定是不是真的适合对方。
Yeah, so in this way, they can find out if they're a little bit in a sober way if they're actually going to be compatible with this person.
Sober way. 然后因此以这样的方式的话呢，这一对年轻的男女就能够以一种很清醒的方式来看一看对方是不是真的适合自己。
So that's called.Omiai means you meet and see.
Omiai, 所以说这种方式的话呢，在日语当中就被叫做 Omiai, 意思就是见面，然后看一看是不是适合的。
The other kind of marriage is called they I.
They I. 而另一种婚姻的话呢被叫做 they I.
Which means love marriage.
而这种婚姻被叫做爱情婚姻。
But really it's not love marriage.
但实际上这并不是真正的爱情婚姻。
It's lust marriage.
这被叫做色欲婚姻。
Right, because when a man and girl really lusty.
嗯，对吧？因为当一个男孩和一个女孩见面的时候，他们实际上是对对方是充满了很大的这种色欲之情的。
And when you're feeling lusty, you're not in a right state of mind. You're not in a sober state of mind.
嗯，而当一个人要是这种就是处于色欲状态当中的话，他是不可能是一种清醒的。这种状态
Yeah, your vision is clouded.
可以说这个视域都被遮住了被遮蔽了
like being drunk.
这就像是喝醉了酒一样的那种感觉
You don't see the other person as they are.
所以就没有能够清楚地看清你面前的这个人是怎样的一个人
You see them as you hope they will be.
而你只是看到你眼中所看到的这个对方只是你希望他是怎样的一个人的这种样子
Not only that, you don't really show the other person who you are, you pretend
不仅如此 你不仅没有看清楚对方是怎样的一个人并且你也在对方装作是另外一个人的这种样子
And then you find out, you know, months or years later, oh my god,Who did I end up with? How did this happen?
然后等过了几个月或者过了几年以后，然后我才发现，哎呀，我的老天爷啊，这个我遇到的是个什么人啊？怎么会跟这样的人结婚呢
？I thought I was meeting, marrying my soulmate.
然后我以为我当初遇到的可是我的灵魂伴侣呢。
But I think this person must have been my enemy in my last life. Oh my God.
但是我觉得现在这个人肯定跟我前世的时候我们俩就是敌人然后就是对手他过来就是找我讨债的。
I'm joking, but this is the state of most marriages.
我是在开玩笑啊不过我刚才说的这些话却是大多数婚姻的状况。
And the divorce rate proves it.
并且现今世界的这个离婚率的话呢，也在证明我刚才说的这些话。
Yeah, in modern societies, the divorce rate is pretty much the same.
You mean everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much.
然后在现今社会的话呢，可以说世界各地的离婚率都是差不多的。
Although I have to say, you know, most of the Indian devotees and non-devotees, even if they leave India, they still get married by arranged marriage, and they still do a horoscope, you know, before they get married, and many of them actually stay together.
不过我要说的话呢，就是对于很多的印度人来说，不论他们是不是奉献者哈，是奉献者和非奉献者，即便他们没有生活在印度，那他们的婚姻的话呢，可以说都是父母安排的，然后并且在结婚之前都会看男女双方的这个星盘是不是合适，然后而且他们结婚以后的话呢，绝大多数的婚姻都会一直的维系下去。
So Prabhupada he makes a very important point in this purport.
因此帕帕在这个要旨当中提到了很重要的一点。
He says, this must be examined because a marriage between a boy of a Vipra Varna and a girl of a Sudra Varna is incompatible.
Let me see from which sentence.
Oh, it's a couple of sentences down.
Vipra Lamba.
Vipra means Brahmin.
A person must check if they have Vipra number, Kshatriyavarna, Vaishyavarna, and Sudravarna. You mean that sentence?
Well, he said if you don't check what your nature is and you get married to someone, it'll be incompatible.
所以说帕帕在这个要旨当中就提到，就是这个习俗的话呢，一定要通过这个。占星或者是通过其他一种方式来看这个结婚的男女双方他们的这个本性是 Vipra Vana 这种是婆罗门的品性，还是刹帝利的品性，还是歪下的品性，还是苏加的品性，然后必须要做这方面的检查。嗯，否则的话呢，就是如果不是同一类型的男女结婚的话呢，这个婚姻会是不幸福的。
Yeah, so married life would be miserable for both the husband and the wife. That's the main point.
嗯，所以说这最主要的一点就是，如果没有去看双方的本性就结婚，那么这样的婚姻的话，会对男女双方来说都是非常痛苦的。
And I think I mentioned last class, one of the richest men in America, he was speaking some words of wisdom, and he was talking about decision making.
嗯，哦，所以我在上一次讲课当中都提到，就是美国有一个非常富有的一个人，然后他当时在谈论一些，就是在说一些很有智慧的话，然后他就说到了关于这个做决定。
And so someone asked him about what is the most important decision we make.
所以有人就问他，问这个很有钱的一个人，就是你觉得什么才是最重要的这个要做出的人生决定呢？
Of course, the person asking the question, he was thinking about money. You know, what's the most important decisions you make about money?
当然这个提问题的人肯定心里面怀揣着的想法是，哎，你做这个最重要的人生决定肯定是跟钱有关的。你在钱这方面所做出的最重大的人生决定是什么呢？
So Warren Buffett, he said, no, the most important decision you can make is not about money.
而沃伦巴菲的话呢，他就回答说，他说你所做到的最重要的决定并不是跟钱有关的。
He said the most important decision you make in your life is the choice of your life partner.
然后他说到 你所能做到的最重要的人生决定就是你对婚姻伴侣的选择。
That's going to determine if you're very miserable or relatively happy.
然后因为你所选择的这个人生伴侣就会确定 你的这一辈子，这一次你过的生活是非常的痛苦，是悲惨不堪呢，还是说是相对来说还是比较快乐的。
And then Prabhupada goes on to say, consequently a boy should marry a girl of the same category.
然后帕帕接下来就在这个要旨当中写到，就是因此的话呢，应该是同一类型的男女才适合结婚。
So although we don't live in the Vedic culture,
是虽然说我们没有生活在伟大社会。
And although we don't live in a culture where people live according to are categorized according to their qualities.
虽然说我们没有生活在这样一个就是根据人的这种种品质来划分阶层的这样一种社会。
It's still very true that if we want to be relatively happy with a life partner, we have to find someone that's very similar in quality and who has the same values as we do.
那么但是的话，虽然说我们即便没有生活在伟大文化，没有生活在这样一种就是以人的这种品性来划分的这样一个社会，但是的话呢，确实要想让自己有相对来说比较快乐的婚姻，然后就必须要找一个和自己有相似的价值观和相似的品质品性的这样一个伴侣才行。
Yeah, so if we don't have a qualified astrologer, which is it's rare to find,
所以说就是我们很有可能也找不到一个就是很有资格就真正有水平的这样一个占星师，因为现在社会也确实很难找到。
And if we are not very clear about our own self, about what we want and what we don't want,
所以我们找不到这样一个占星师来帮助我们看清局面，或者我们自己也还没有成熟到能够看明白就是自己想要什么或者不想要什么。
And we just choose a partner based on sexual attraction.
完全只是因为这种性方面的吸引，然后才去选择一个人来作为自己的人生伴侣的话。
It's very risky.
那么这样的一种决定实际上是非常有风险的。
It's like flipping a coin.
这就像是你抛硬币一样的。
So, that's one of the points. The other point Prabhupada makes here is that for devotees, this is not such a concern.
然后而帕帕在要旨当中提到的另一点就是对于奉献者来说却不需要做这方面的考量。
So he writes, of course, this is trigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas, that if the boy and girl are devotees, there need not be such considerations.
所以说帕帕的这句话是当然这是按照韦达经从物质的角度来考虑问题而如果男女双方都是奉献者的话就不需要做这种考量。
A devotee is transcendental and therefore in a marriage between devotees, the boy and the girl form a very happy combination.
奉献者是超然的所以奉献者之间的婚姻对于男女双方来说都是十分快乐的组合。
Oh, so how are we to understand this?
那么我们应该怎样来理解帕帕在这里写的这句话呢?
If we look at our devotee society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we did a survey, we would probably find that the divorce rate in ISKCON is pretty much like the society around us.
Pretty much like the society around us.Got it. 而如果我们要是来观察一下就是这个国际 Krishna 知觉协会的话我们整个这个大家庭然后做一个这个调查率的话呢跟这个世俗社会当中物质社会当中的离婚率其实是差不多的
I'm not sure what the divorce rate in China is but in America it's 50%
但我不知道中国的离婚率是多高哈但是在美国的话呢离婚率是高达 50%。
And even those who stay married, not too many are happy.
而即使是那些没有离婚的那些家庭的话呢当中也没有太多家庭是多么快乐幸福的。
So if the divorce rate is so high amongst devotees,then how are we to understand the statement of Prabhupada's?
而如果在奉献者社区当中会有这么高的这种离婚率的话那么我们怎么来理解就帕帕在要旨当中写的这句话呢
So that's a fair question, isn't it?
所以说我问的这个问题是一个很正当的一个问题对吧
Well, then we have to understand what Prabhupada means when he says devotee.
那么因此我们就要来理解一下当帕帕在这里提到奉献者这个字眼的时候这个是什么意思
So I would suggest that he's referring to very advanced first class devotees not the second and third class level devotees
因此的话呢 我认为就是帕帕在这里提到的奉献者指的是这种一流的奉献者，这种非常高阶进步的奉献者，而不是第二层的，或者是第三层的、第二等的、第三等的这种奉献者。
Excuse me for one second.
Oh, okay. 姑娘，稍微离开一下下。
Okay. So Prabhupada is talking about devotees that have transcended the modes of nature.
所以说帕帕在这里所谈到的奉献者是已经超越了物质自然三重属性的奉献者。
He's talking about devotees who have understood they're not the mind and the body. They don't believe in the story that their mind is telling them about themselves.
而帕帕在这里谈到的奉献者是指那些已经不再认同于心意和躯体的人他们已经不再去相信在自己心意当中所讲述的那些关于他们自身的各种人生故事的这些奉献者
Yeah, so devotees that are on the Brahma Bhuta platform that are self-satisfied they don't have to consider their material natures because they're already transcended
而 这些奉献者的话，他们已经是处于这个 Brahma Buddha 的阶层，然后他们是 Brahma Buddha 阶层的奉献者，是对自己已经感到非常满足、非常自主快乐的这样一种状态，所以说他们完全不用去考虑到这种物质层面的这种本性是怎样的，因为他们已经超越了这些物质自然的本性。
So we find, you know, Prabhupada himself, he gives different descriptions of what a devotee is and what a devotee is not in his lectures and in his purports.
嗯，哦，所以说我们会在帕帕的这种各种各样的教这个讲课当中啊，或者是这个书籍当中，嗯，提到就是描述对于奉献者的不同的这种描述。
Lord Chaitanya has also defined what a devotee is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
嗯，在永恒的主柴坦尼亚经当中，主柴坦尼亚也描述了怎样才算是一位奉献者。
And the Bhagavatam also has defined, you know, three classes of devotees.
嗯，并且在瓦坛当中也描述了这种三种不同种类的奉献者。
So Bhojan Prabhu, he tells a story of being on a morning walk with Prabhupada.
嗯，所以 Bhojan Prabhu 曾经就谈到过，他有一次早上和帕帕散步的时候，他们之间的一场聊天。
And he asked Prabhupada a question.
他问了帕帕一个问题。
He said, often the devotee thinks that he is more unhappy than the karmis because he knows he's unhappy.
Devotees think that he is more unhappy than a karmi.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's unhappy.
Yeah.
Oh.嗯，所以说 Bhojan Prabhu 就这样对帕帕说，就是奉献者往往都认为自己比非奉献者、比物质主义者、比 Karmi 还要更加的不快乐，因为奉献者自己很清楚的知道自己是不快乐、不幸福的。
Prabhupada's reply is very interesting.
而帕帕就给了一个很有趣的回复。
He said that means that he's not a devotee.
帕帕说，那这样的话就意味着这并不是一个奉献者。
A devotee means the first sign will be that he's happy.
嗯，因为一个奉献者的一个标志，首先的第一个特征就是他很快乐幸福的。
And then Prabhupada says Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma.
嗯，然后帕帕就说了这个一句梵文。
Yeah, so this is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 54.
哦，然后而这个诗节的话，这个诗句是来自于《薄伽梵歌》的第十八章五十四诗节。
Prasanatma means inner happiness.
嗯，哦，在这个五十四节节 ，Brahma Buddha Prasanatma， 而这个 Prasanatma 的意思就是内在的快乐。内在的喜悦
，happy within。
嗯，也就是说，你内心就感到非常的快乐。
So Prabhupada says, if he is not prasanatma, then he's a rascal.
然后，所以帕帕就说到，如果一个人他不是 prasanatma， 也就是说没有内在的快乐、内在的喜悦的话，那他就是一个 rascal， 就是一个这种混蛋，一个这种对，混蛋吧，嗯。
And Prabhupada goes on to say, he has not entered even devotional life yet.
嗯，而帕帕接着说，那他就还没有真正的进入到奉爱服务的生活当中。
He is outside.
还依然站在这外面呢。
This is the test.
说这就是一场考验。
Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Lord Vishnu, he says, I don't want anything.
嗯，当朱夫马拉吉看到主 Vishnu 的时候，他说：“我什么都不想要。”
That is a Vaishnava.
这就是一位 Vaishnava.
And if he is still in want or if he is still unhappy, that means he has no spiritual life at all.
而如果他还依然想得到什么东西，或者依然感到不快乐、不幸福的话，那就意味着。他还没有处于这个真正的灵性生活当中呢。
He is simply making a show.
他就只不过是在上演一场秀而已。
Well, those are very heavy words from Srila Prabhupada.
所以说这些话可以说是帕帕曾经说过的特别重的一些话。
So please don't feel discouraged.
所以请大家不要觉得哎呀灰心丧气啊，听到帕帕说的这样一番话。
So for those of us who are not prasanatma,
所以对于我们这些还没有处于 prasanatma 层面的人来说，
please don't feel discouraged.
请大家不要觉得很灰心哦。
Maybe we are not really devotees.
可能我们并不是真正的奉献者。
But we are aspiring devotees.
但是我们却是非常热切努力要进步的奉献者。
And Prabhupada also once said that an aspiring devotee is as good as a devotee.
而帕帕曾经也说过，因为这种一位就是非常热切努力的这个想要成为奉献者的奉献者，是跟一位真正的奉献者一样的那么好的。
Then he gave the example of a mango.
然后他就讲到了那个芒果的那个例子。
Said one mango is green, the other is ripe.
他说一个芒果是绿色的，另外一只芒果已经变黄了。
But they are both mangoes.
但是这个绿色和黄色的芒果都是芒果。
So I think this is how we can understand this purport.
所以这个就是我们可以以这样的方式来理解今天讲到这个要旨。
So when a devotee man and a devotee woman get married,
因此当一位奉献者的男性和一位奉献者的女性结婚的时候，
if they're actually devotees,
如果他们在婚姻当中是，他们如果真正的是奉献者的话，
They identify themselves as a servant of Krishna.
然后他们会把自己认作为是 Krishna 的仆人。
And so they are happy within.
因此他们在内心当中就感到非常的快乐幸福。
And their only desire is to serve Krishna and their spiritual master.
而他们唯一的愿望就是想要去服务 Krishna, 服务灵性导师。
They don't need anything from their partner.
而这样的状态使得他们根本就不需要想要从自己的婚姻伴侣那里得到任何东西。
Because when you're prasanatma, happy within, you feel like you already have everything.
因为当你处于这个 prasanatma 这种内在的喜悦的层面的时候，你已经内心就感到如此快乐了，自然也就不需要从外界得到任何东西了。
So we look at the last sentence. Prabhupada says, "A devotee is transcendental. Therefore, a marriage between devotees, the boy."
我们来看到帕帕在要旨当中写的最后这一句话。奉献者是超然的，所以说奉献者之间的婚姻对男女来说都是十分快乐的组合。
So for devotees that are actually on the transcendental platform, they can get married without visiting an astrologer.
与超然层面的奉献者来说，他们就可以在不需要去拜访占星师的这种状况下，然后就结婚。
But for devotees that are not on the transcendental platform, it's highly recommended that they visit a qualified astrologer to see what their qualities are and what the qualities are of the other partner, if they're compatible before they get married.
而对于那些没有处于超然层面的奉献者来说，那么就极度的向你们推荐，就在决定结婚之前，先去咨询一位有资格的占星师，来看一看你自己的品质是怎样的，你的这个想要结婚的对方是怎样的品质，然后看一看双方是不是真的契合。
So the more we identify with our mind and body,
而我们越是去认同于自己的心意和躯体
，the more incomplete we feel.
那么我们就越会感到自己不完整。
And so the more selfish we are,
当我们感到自己越加不完整的时候，就越会是非常自私的。
And then we have the unfortunate expectation that somebody outside of us can make us happy.
What expectations?
We have the unfortunate
expectation, oh,
you know,
okay.
That, and the mistaken belief that somebody outside of us can make us happy.
而当我们处于这样一种非常自私的状态的时候，就自然会抱有这种不幸的期望，期望另一个人能够来让我们完整，来让我们幸福，然后抱有这种就是错误的信念，或者是错误的这种固有的观念，认为对方应该怎么怎么样才能让我快乐。
So if we carry that expectation into our marriage,
因此当我们把这样的这种想法带入到这个婚姻之中的时候，
We may spend our whole life trying to change our partner to be the person we want them to be unsuccessfully.
那么当抱有这样的一种固有的念头进入了婚姻当中的时候，那么很有可能我们会花费整个一生，终其一生都试图要去改变自己的伴侣，然后要不断的改变他，调整他，纠正他，然后好让他来让我们感到快乐，但是这样的做法是绝对不会成功的。
That's if we're not devotees.
That's for non-devotees.
Yeah.
而这个对于非奉献者来说就是如此。
Now, if we're aspiring devotees, wanting to become devotees,
而如果我们非常热切的想要去成为奉献者的话，
then an unhappy marriage is just exactly what we need in order to advance in Krishna consciousness.
那么当我们非常热切的想要去成为奉献者的话，那么一段不开心不幸福的婚姻反而正是我们所需要的，从而能够得以在 Krishna 知觉当中进步。
Then we're forced to see the desires of our false ego.
那么此时我们就被迫要去看到自己假我的这种自私的欲望。
We're forced to give up the endeavor to try and find happiness independent of Krishna.
而此时我们就会被迫要去放弃这种想要隔绝于 Krishna, 想要在 Krishna 之外去寻求快乐幸福的这种努力。
Yeah, we're forced to look within and discover our relationship with Krishna and find happiness there.
而我们就被迫要去往内看，能够在内在的去寻找和 Krishna 相连接所带来的幸福。
Yeah, so we're forced to actually develop the vision of a devotee.
而我们就会被迫去发展出这种奉献者本该拥有的这样一种视域。
Yeah, we're forced to become self-realized.
我们就被迫的让自己要去自我觉醒。
So in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions the vision of a devotee.
在《薄伽梵歌》的第五章， Krishna 就谈到了奉献者的视域。
Let's see. I'm just looking for it.
找一找，看看在具体的一个时节。
I know the Sanskrit, but I don't know the location.
或者说他知道是一个梵文，但是不知道具体是在哪个地方。
Hold on one second, it's coming. I know it's coming.
请大家稍等一分钟。
Anyway, I can't find the Sanskrit. Oh, I found it.
好，找到了。
518.
Okay, 第五章的第十八世界。
Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini sunichayava sopakecha pandita samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater.
第五章第十八世节，谦恭的学者凭着真知，以同等的眼光看待博雅的 Brahmana 母牛、大象、狗和吃狗者。 五种性质。
So one of the ways we can see if we're advancing in devotional life, in devotional consciousness, is do we accept our partner the way they are, or are we still trying to change them and expect them to make us happy?
所以说我们能够得以来判断自己是不是在奉爱服务当中在进步着，来判断自己是不是在这个奉爱的这种知觉当中有所进步的方法之一，就是来看看我们是能否真正接受自己的婚姻伴侣的真实的模样，还是说我们依然想要去改变对方，还要期望着对方来让我们快乐幸福。
Are we looking at our partner through the eyes of the past or through the truth of the present?
我们是根据过往的这种目光眼光来看待自己的伴侣呢，还是说根据当下此刻的这种真相来看待对方？
Yeah, so even for an aspiring devotee, marriage is an important sacrament that helps purify our consciousness.
那么即使是对于这种想要成为奉献者的人来说，那么婚姻的话呢，都是一种很神圣的安排，来得以使得我们净化自己。
So we learn from this verse today that for a non-devotee or an aspiring devotee, it's very important that we try and marry someone who's compatible with.
因此从今天的这个世界来看，那么对于非奉献者来说，或者是叫做对于努力想要成为奉献者的奉献者来说，那么我们应该选择和一个契合的和自己匹配的这样一个人来结婚。
Otherwise, the marriage may be so hellish that it's even difficult to concentrate on spiritual life.
否则的话呢，这样和不契合的人结婚，那么可能最终所发展出来的这种状况就像地狱一般的，就是导致自己根本都没法专注于灵性生活。
But even still, we have to take responsibility that I made this choice. I'm not forced.
但即便如此，我们也要勇于的去承担起这样的责任，然后就要去看到是我自己当初做出了这样的选择，我并不是被迫要怎样怎样。
And I have to deal with the consequences of my choices.
并且我要来应对我曾经做出的选择所带来的后果。
Now I've said many times, you know, I don't advocate divorce.
当然我已经很多次的说到过，那就是我并不倡导离婚。
And I also don't advocate staying in a relationship that's emotionally or physically abusive or dangerous.
并且的话呢，我也不倡导就是待在一段就是在这种情感上或者是在躯体上都虐待对方的或者被虐待的这样一种婚姻当中。
But as a devotee, we should be serious about going back home, back to Godhead, and not trying to find impossible happiness in this material world.
而作为奉献者的话呢，就是我们真的是要非常严肃认真的考虑就是回归家园回归守神的这件事，而不是试图Guru Maharaj, impossible to find happiness here, right?
Yeah, we'll never find happiness in the material world.
然后并且能够真正的意识到就是我们不可能在这个物质世界当中找到任何真正的这种快乐幸福的。
Now the irony is that happiness really is within.
而这个讽刺之处就在于真正的快乐幸福是只能在内心当中才能找到的。
So actually our search for happiness is what actually keeps us away from happiness.
而我们对于快乐的这种寻找反而使得我们一直无法真正找到快乐。
Yeah, so the disease is simple.
The disease is simple.
Yeah.
所以这我们得的这场病实际上是很简单的一场病。
And the cure is also simple.
那这个治病的这个疗方也是非常简单的。
Yeah, the Avanti Bhava and the Bhagavatam, he says, there's only one thing that makes us unhappy.
Sorry, who's that?
The Avanti Brahman, he's a great sage in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, could you repeat his name?
Avanti Brahman.
Oh, Avanti Brahman. 所以说第圣典薄伽瓦坛的第十一篇当中的一位圣人叫做 Avanti Brahman, 他就曾经说过 sorry, what did he say?
Yeah, well, anyway,This Brahman, he's from the city of Avanti. That's why he's called the Avanti Brahman.
Yes, and you were saying that he said what has made us unhappy.
Yeah, he said the only thing that makes us unhappy is our own mind.
Oh, okay, got it. 所以说这位 Avanti Brahman, 这位圣人就说过唯一让我们感到不快乐不幸福的就是我们的心意。
Yeah, he said if you live in the past, you'll be unhappy.
他说到如果你一直活在过去那这就会让你感到很不快乐。
If you live in the future, you'll feel afraid and dissatisfied.
而如果你一直活在未来那你总是会活在这种恐惧活在不满意当中。
So the Brahman said, if you stop misusing your mind, then everything will be okay.
而这位 Avanti Brahman 就说如果你停止不再去滥用你的心意，那么一切都会很 OK， 一切都会很好的。
Then the Brahman said, as soon as you give up all concern with the past and the future, you can live happily now.
而这位 Brahman 就说，一旦你放下所有对于过去和对于未来的考虑，或者是叫做焦虑、担心，那么你就能在当下此刻非常的 OK 了，非常的很好了。
So,That's always available for devotees, you know, this, just awakening from the dream and becoming happy. It's always.
说这种从梦境当中苏醒过来能够在当下此刻得以觉醒的话我们总是能够在当下得到这样的一种状态的。
So in summary, whether you're a non-devotee or an aspiring devotee, It's you have to think very carefully about your life partner and having a qualified astrologer to look at your chart is one of the things you can do to try and find a partner that you're compatible with.
因此先来总结一下，那么就是对于非奉献者来说，或者叫做对于热切努力的想要成为奉献者的奉献者来说，那么一定要在选择人生伴侣上面要考虑周全，考虑细节一些。那么其中之一的方式方法就是可以去询问一位有资格的这个占星师来看一看两个人是不是真的是契合，真正合适的。
But also it's a material world and we're never going to find someone that we're perfectly compatible with.
当然在这个物质世界当中我们也永远不可能能够找得到一位完美的契合我们的一个婚姻伴侣的。
Yeah, so then we can use that opportunity of dissatisfaction we feel with our partner to give up trying to find happiness outside and find the happiness within.
那么当然我们就可以运用这样一种机会，就是运用自己对于婚姻伴侣的这种不满足不满意的来作为一次机会来放弃自己想要在外界当中获得快乐幸福的欲望，而转而开始向内寻求真知，寻求快乐。
However, for devotees that are on the transcendental platform, they're actually devotees, then it's like one times one equals one. There'll be no problem.
okay. 那么而对于那些处于超然层面的奉献者，就是这些真正的奉献者来说，他们的婚姻就相当于是一乘一就等于一一样的，那么在这种情况下就不会有任何问题的出现。
Right, the man feels whole within, the woman feels whole within, so when they get married, they don't need anything from each other, they just support each other.
而 那么对于这样的一对奉献者夫妇来说，男人他的内在就已经感到是很完整的，很全部的，完满的，而女人的话呢也是如此。因此当他们在一起的时候，他们不需要从对方那里得到任何东西，然后他们自己已经内在已经足够完满，足够满足了，而反而在一起的婚姻的话呢，就是在支持对方。
But if we're still in the bodily conception of life,
但是如果我们还依然处于这种对于人生的躯体层面的概念上的话，
then we feel incomplete.
那么就会感到不完整。
That's one half.
那么当你感到不完整的时候，你就是二分之一。
So if two people who are feeling incomplete get together,
不完整的这两个人在一起的话，
and they're very incompatible,
然后并且他们非常的不契合，
times one half equals one fourth, you feel more miserable.
然后所以说当这两个对自己感到不完整的人，相当于是二分之一嘛，就二分之一乘以二分之一就等于四分之一，所以这样的人生就让这种人就感到更加的痛苦了。
Okay, I'm very experienced in that.
我说我在这方面经验丰富。
So that's all I have to say.
这就是我要今天给大家分享。Okay. So shall we look at questions?
Yes.
Okay. 好，我们就一起来看一看今天大家问的问题，然后或者是你们的这个想要分享的一些东西。那给我们来看第一个是 Smoky Radha Mataji 说的 ，Dimbai Guru Maharaja， 感谢 Mataji 的翻译。中国人认为婚姻的确应该门当户对，这是对夫妻双方阶层匹配的认同，但也认为婚姻是业报使然，谁和谁结婚是命中注定的。而现代人认为，如果按照媒妁之约去选择婚姻，是一种基于各种条件的合作，没有爱情，只是就各方面物质条件衡量的婚姻是不道德的，这与伟大文化婚姻价值观冲突蛮大的。过去按照传统的相亲的婚姻，一辈子除了尽责任而没有爱的情感交流的婚姻就是道德的吗？人们在婚姻中无法得到的，不也是在婚姻之外不断的寻找补偿吗？So Sumuki Radha Mataji is saying that Chinese people, you know, always think that marriages should, you know, you should marry the same class person.You know, so the backgrounds of both families should be very similar. But they also think that marriage is karma. You know, you are destined to marry someone, you know, because that person is just your karma. However, the modern society think that if a person just agrees with arranged marriage, you know, by parents or by friends, So it's actually kind of like a cooperation based on all sorts of conditions. There's no love. It's just, you know, materially, are those two people compatible materially, you know, all the considerations, which is actually immoral, and quite opposite of the Vedic culture in marriage. And previously, those arranged marriages,Basically, two people just did what they are supposed to do, you know, like responsibility, but no loving exchange. So this kind of marriage was actually moral. She was asking about, you know, those previous arranged marriages, because now it's not really much happening now in China. And then, so this kind of marriage, arranged marriage, is also moral because people just did their responsibility. There is no loving exchange. And then secondly, she was saying that people couldn't get what they want in a marriage. So they also try to find compensation outside the marriage, right?
Yeah, either way, marriage has always been a risky business.
反正不论是哪种方式，婚姻的话都是一种非常有风险的这样一个事情。
But every the family unit was the whole society depended upon a healthy family unit.
那么以前的社会的话呢，可以说在以前这些每个社会的话呢，大家都知道，就是一个国家哈，然后这种都是建立在一个健康的家庭所构成的这样一个国家的。
Yeah, so whether it's Vedic or non-Vedic or moral or immoral, it seems that our marriage partners is always a result of karma, one way or the other.
Our marriage partners are always what?
A result of karma. It's our karma.
Okay, a result of karma. And,
Yes.
Okay.
Ultimately, it's karma.
嗯，OK。 所以说，对于伟达文化，或者是对于非伟达文化，或者是对于那些即便是不道德的这些婚姻来说，就像你刚才提到的，那么我们的这个婚姻伴侣的话呢，实际上都是由业报所决定的，最终来说都是业报。
So of course, in previous cultures, maybe in China and Japan, even in India, oftentimes the parents they arrange the marriage of their children for their own selfish reasons and not for the benefit of their children, right?
那么当然在以前的社会的话，比如说中国、日本，甚至是在印度的话呢，也是如此。就是很多时候父母对自己子女所做出的婚姻选择安排的这个婚姻对象的话，都是出于自己自私的考虑，而并不是真正考虑到自己孩子的这个幸福的。
And with no consideration if the boy and girl are compatible or not.
然后并且也没有真正去考虑过这个结婚的对方和自己的子女是不是真正契合的。
And so, unfortunately, the boy and the girl in that marriage, they might have resented their parents and resented each other and never learned to love each other and had a miserable time.
当然的话，那么当这样的这个男女双方结婚以后的话，他们很有可能就会憎恨自己的父母，然后怨恨彼此，也就没有办法能够去学会去爱对方。
Now, if it was in the Vedic culture or even in the Buddhist culture, where the parents actually cared about their children and they did their best to find a partner for their child who was compatible, then they had, a good chance of learning to love each other in the marriage and having a healthy family.
而那么对于这种，比如说在伟达文化当中，或者是在这种佛教的这种很在意自己子女的幸福安康，然后真的是父母尽自己最大努力来为子女寻找到一个契合的这样一个伴侣。那么在这种情况下就有很大的可能性两个人就能得以发展出爱，然后发展出这种充满爱的这种健康的这种家庭。
And the society was strong, so any kind of adultery was, punishable by death. So people would stay in the marriage.
而这种社会的话呢，这样发展出来的社会就会是很强大的。那么并且当初的这种社会对于这种通奸罪的话呢，也就是这种早婚外恋哈，然后这种惩罚也是非常大的，然后有可能都是判死刑，然后因此人们会有很大的这种恐惧感，就会继续的留在这种婚姻当中，而不会去找外遇。
Yeah, because illicit sex, destroys, the relationship between men and women, but ultimately it destroys society.
因为这种非法性行为的话呢，然后不仅是破坏了、毁灭了这个婚姻双方的这种关系，并且最终来说也是会毁灭社会的。
Because the children are unwanted and unprotected, and the relationship between a man and a woman is destroyed. There's no trust.
因为这样的话呢，那么诞生出来的孩子就是不被要的，没有受到保护的，并且他毁灭了男人和女人之间的关系的话呢，也使得双方没有任何的信任可言。
Of course, this is just, theoretical now. We have to deal with the reality of how the society is.
当然我们现在所谈到的这些的话呢都是很理论性的，我们就必须要来看一看how to deal with it now, you mean?
Yeah.
那么就我们就要看一看现在应该怎么来去应对这样的状况。
So now, people don't get married by arrangement.
那么在现今社会的话，人们已经不再通过这个媒妁之言来结婚了。
Mostly it's on the basis of sexual attraction.
而大多数婚姻都是基于这种性方面的吸引力的。
And even after they get married, it's very common for both male women and men to have affairs.
那么即使在结婚之后的话呢，现在也变得越来越常见的就是男方和女方的话呢，彼此都会有外遇的这种状况。
And most of the marriages don't last.
然后大多数婚姻都无法长久。
And the children grow up, from the beginning with very low self-esteem and a lot of emotional problems.
而这样在这样的家庭当中所诞生长大的孩子，那么从小的话呢就遭受有很多的这种自尊的问题，就是。
And there we have Kali Yuga.
这就来了卡利年代。
so these things are going. What is the divorce rate or the society, you know, in modern, cultures, modern societies, it's almost the same.
所以说大家如果看到这个奉献者的这个离婚率的话，以及这个现今社会的这个离婚率的话呢，可以说基本上都是一样的。
So the best thing we can do is to, be very careful in who we choose as a marriage partner and really research ourselves, research our partner, and then, even then, not expect to find happiness, but to ultimately know that we can only find happiness within.
OK. 然后而我们所能做到的最好的事情，那就是能够在选择自己的婚姻伴侣的方面是非常小心的，非常谨慎的。然后不仅研究，做好研究自己，并且也要去研究我们的伴侣。然后就是可以说叫做了解自己，了解我的伴侣，然后而同时的话呢也要明白，那就是不可能能够在这个物质世界找到真正的完满的快乐幸福的，而我们最终都必须要在婚姻当中来从内找到快乐幸福。
Maybe there can be a revival in the marriage institution, but right nowthe younger generation, many of them are not even attempting to get married because they don't see it working.
有可能在未来的话呢，会有再次的这种就是婚姻方面的话呢，大家会更多的想要去结婚吧。但是从现在来看的话，很多的年轻人甚至都不想结婚，因为他们能看到就是婚姻的话呢是完全不起作用的。
Okay.
Okay, next one. 我们来看下一个。我开始奉献者问，对的，哈哈。不过我当初结婚的时候是有找人看的，那个看八字的人就说没问题，我也叫我妈妈帮我找人看，也说没问题，结果惨了，非常痛苦。后来我就怀疑那些人都看错了，然后我去。这堂课真的非常重要，感恩故可以让没有结婚和头脑发昏的人倾听，可以帮助他们避免痛。Thank you very much for your class, and I deeply understand what you were saying, because back then when I was about to get married, someone read my chart, and also I asked my mother to find someone to read my chart, you know, the Chinese astrology.And neither of them say there's something wrong with it, you know, checking both charts. So, but the result was so miserable. And then, so later I really suspect that those people read my chart wrong. So eventually last year I decided just to quit the marriage And then I think that your class is really important, and thank you very much, which your class can really help those young people who are about to get married, and those, you know, drunken people, like intoxicated by love people, to help them to avoid the possible pain.
Yeah, thank you. We live and learn.
谢谢这位马大姐所说的，我们确实是改正自己的错误。Okay, next one.
I just want to say again, you know, and I always say it, but you know, for a devotee, an unhappy dream is the key to awakening.
其实我一直也这样给大家说到，那就是对于奉献者来说，一场不快乐的梦境，一场不幸福的梦境，反而能够使得我们更加想要苏醒过来。
Yeah, those who are in a happy dream, they're much less likely to awaken in this life.
Much less likely to awaken in this life.
Yeah.
而那些活在快乐的梦境当中的人的话呢，却不太有那么多的可能会在今生得以觉醒。
Okay.
Next one.
Oh, and also I heard the word 开心。
Yeah, 开心。That's her name, her online name.
Oh, really? 开心。
Okay. Guru 的听出来。Guru 的听出来您的名字。Okay, next one.好，苏穆基拉达马塔吉说的，现代人不论男女越来越独立，想要真的把自己和另一个人绑在一起是非常困难的，身心灵和谐的伴侣就更是难得遇见。很多年轻人选择独身，只恋爱不结婚，这样做是否值得推荐呢？人们越是进入感情就越觉得伤不起，不敢结婚的人很多。So 苏穆基拉达马塔吉 is saying that in modernWe find it extremely person through the tie of marriage. One that is so rare to find someone so compatible. So many young people choose to is this way actually this kind of approach to life is actually recommendable, you know, it's actually okay to do that, because people find that the more you get involved in relationships, the more you get hurt, so they don't want to afford that kind of hurt, so many people don't want you know, scared about marriage.
Well, it's not very progressive.It's kind of defensive.
Defensive, you mean trying to defend oneself?
Yeah, it's like, it's hard to make progress like that.
而如果要是只恋爱不结婚的话呢，那么这样的做法实际上是很难让人取得进步的。
Yeah, it's like, it's better not to have a relationship if you're going to have a bad relationship.
所以说如果要是会有一段很糟糕的关系的话，那还不如没有关系，就独身一人还更好。
Yet men and women have needs.
然而男人和女人的话呢，都有自己的需求。
And they need each other.
并且他们也需要对方。
And they actually need each other to transcend their needs.
并且男人和女人还需要对方来帮助自己超越自己的需求。
So unless men and women come together in a religious marriage with the intention of awakening, it's hard for them to progress.
Okay. 所以说，除非一个男人和一女人，他们是抱有一种想要得以在灵性上觉醒的目的来结婚的，这样一种形成一段宗教的或者叫做灵性的婚姻，那么否则在没有这样的前提，没有这样的目的之下的婚姻的话呢，是很难得以有任何进步的。
And then we have a situation like we have today where most people choose to remain single.
然后并且在当今社会也有很多的这种状况，那就是许多人选择单身。
And then they have sexual relationships without any more commitment than that.
然后而这些选择单身的人的话呢，他们就只是在需要的时候和别人发生性关系，但是除了发生性关系之外，就没有再没有任何其他的这种更多的承诺。
Yeah, so they have no commitment to stay with each other.
其实他们不会有这种承诺要去跟自己发生了关系的这些人在一起长久的在一起生活。
And so they don't make any progress, as a human being.
所以说在这样的状态下，他们作为人类实际上就没有取得任何的进步。
Because when we're in committed relationship with others, then we're forced to see our own selfishness.
因为当我们处于一段就是有坚固承诺的这样一段婚恋关系当中的时候，我们才会被迫去看到自己的自私。
Yeah, we're forced to see our own false sense of self.
我们才会被迫去看到自己这种虚假的对于自我的概念。
And we really can't transcend it until we see it.
而除非我们能够看到自己的自私，看到自己的假我，对于这种人生的这种虚假的概念，否则我们是不可能得以去超越自己的自私的。
Yeah, we have to see it and then choose to give it up. Otherwise, we don't make much progress.
我们要能够看到它，才能够做出选择，是不是要放手它？否则的话，是不可能有任何的这种进步可言的。
But that's a symptom of Kali Yuga. All the institutions that were there, you know, to help people progress spiritually, they're all falling apart, or they become just mundane material.
但这些的话呢，实际上就是支持人类在灵性上取得进步的这些所有的机构啊，或者是这种各种各样的这种事物啊，支持人得以觉醒的灵性的这种觉醒的事物，但是在卡利年代都会崩溃掉，都会分崩离析，然后反而变成了这种很世俗的这种东西。
So if we just retreat and live alone, you know, we may feel a little comfortable, but we really don't grow very much as a spiritually or even as a human being.
而如果我们只是选择撤退，从婚姻制度当中撤退出来，想要自己独自生活，那么有可能确实会有一丁点的这种觉得很舒服，但是的话呢，这种做法却不可能在灵性上取得任何的成长，也不可能在自己作为人类在这种状况下，作为人类这种当中取得任何的进步，任何的成长。
But having said that, you know, there's no reason to get married with somebody that you're not compatible with either.
但即便这样说，这也不是一个理由能够使得我们跟一个和自己完全不契合的人结婚的这样一个理由。
But most people are not compatible in their marriage, even if they try for it.
Try for what?
Even if they're looking for that compatible person, or they think they've found it, you know.
Still most couples are not compatible in marriage. 而即便是这种已经结婚的人的话呢，比如他们在结婚之前就努力的想要去找到一个契合的人、匹配的人，然后或者他们认为自己找到了一个很契合的人，但是的话呢，大多数婚姻当中的伴侣都是不契合的。
Yeah, but for a devotee, that's an opportunity to awaken. For a non-devotee, it's hell.
而对于奉献者来说，这就是一个很好的机会，能得以帮助我们得以觉醒。但对非奉献者来说，那么这就跟地狱般的体验一样的。
Yeah, so it just drives us further into the mind.
就只不过会让我们更多的陷入到自己的心意当中而已。
The false ego keeps us in the mind by promising happiness in the future.
而假我的话呢，通过向我们许诺在未来会找到快乐幸福，那从而使得我们依然困在自己的心意当中走不出来。
Yeah, so we imagine getting a different partner.
于是我们就会想象啊，未来换一个另一个婚姻伴侣，那就会更好了。
Or you know, we do some hanky panky on the side.
Hanky panky means doing some patchwork.
No, it means doing something secretly you're not supposed to do.
Oh, like secret affair. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, 或者是的话呢，就是选择就是这种婚外恋、偷情这种。嗯。
Yeah, but that just destroys yourself and the other person.
但是这样的做法就是这种婚外恋的话呢，实际上是毁灭了你自己，并且也毁灭了另一个人。
But if we're present,
但是如果我们足够临在的话
，we'll see the perfection of our life right now.
那么我们就能得以看到在当下此刻人生的完美。
We'll discover our wholeness, our completeness, the divine light of consciousness.
嗯，我们就能得以在当下此刻的临在当中。发现自己的完整，能够看到自己知觉的神圣的光芒照亮出来。
We'll find within ourselves everything that we've been looking for outside of ourselves.
我们就能得以在内在当中找到我们一直在外界当中想要寻求到的东西。
It's always been here, always will be.
而我们一直渴求想要找到的东西，总是在这里，并且永远也将在这，在那里。
Yeah, so when are we going to do that?
而我们什么时候才愿意往内去寻求呢？
We can only do it now.
我们就只能在现在这一刻去做。
It's not going to happen in the future. It's only going to happen now.
所以说不可能在未来你会去找到内在的快乐幸福的，而你只能在当下此刻找到内在的快乐和幸福。
Yeah, so this lamenting the past and hoping for happiness in the future,It's just the world of the mind. It's a trick.
嗯，而这种不断的去悲叹过去发生的事儿，或者是渴望在未来找到快乐幸福的这样一种愿望的话，就只不过是心意的事件而已。这就只是。
Yeah. So we've been falling. We've been falling. We've been fooled. You know, constantly in this life.And for lifetimes, the same trick.
而我们在今生或者是以及在前世多多少那么多的生生世世当中，就一直以来被心意所愚弄了。
What we're looking for, we already have.
我们一直在寻求的，实际上是我们一直都拥有的。
When are we going to see it?
而什么时候我们才能真正看到这一点呢？
So this will go on. It's.
其实这样的状态，只在就是如此嘛。
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Next one, Sumuki Radha Mataji is asking. 有人问，怕怕的婚姻是属于哪一类 ？The Prabhupada's marriage belongs to which category?
Well, of course, in India, you know.Especially in Prabhupada's time, all the marriages were arranged and they were done astrologically and they were done according to the, of course, the caste system that people were born into.
就是在帕帕的那个时代的印度哈，当时所有的婚姻都是父母的这种安排，就是安排的这种婚姻，然后并且他们在结婚之前都会去看占星，然后看看男女双方是不是契合的，而且还会根据男女双方所出生的这个种姓制度来判断两个人是不是能结婚。
And people got married very early, especially the girls.
而且当初的印度的话呢，是人们在很小的年龄就结婚的，特别是女孩子。
So I think Prabhupada, his marriage was arranged when he was still a young boy and she was still a young girl.
所以我记得就是帕帕当初他结婚的时候，他的婚姻被安排，他那个时候还很年轻，然后他的那个妻子也是非常年幼的。
And I'm not sure how old Prabhupada was when he actually got married, but I think his wife was only 14.
那我不确定帕帕在结婚的时候是多大。但是我记得就是他的妻子是在14岁的时候和他结婚的。
And Prabhupada said from the beginning he didn't like his wife.
然后帕帕也说从最开始结婚的时候他就不喜欢他那个妻子。
And he wanted to get another wife.
然后他当时想要再有另外一位妻子。
But Prabhupada's father would not allow it.
但是帕帕的父亲却不允许他这样做。
And he told Prabhupada, even at that time, that this was his, you know, key to becoming free spiritually, was to accept, you know, and be satisfied with the wife that he didn't like.
Oh, the father told him that?
Yeah.
Oh. 而当时他帕帕的父亲就告诉帕帕，就说，你在这样一段婚姻当中，不快乐的婚姻当中，反而是你能够得以在灵性上得以觉醒的这样一个关键之一，你应该通过这样的婚姻来变得对自己感到满足，感到快乐。
So he stayed married until he was 54. Then he left home, and then when he was 63, he took sannyas.
而后的话呢，帕帕就听从他父亲的这样一番话语，然后一直就是待在婚姻当中，一直到他54岁，然后。他后来在63岁的时候，帕帕就才成为这个 sannyasi 的。
So that's, you know, we can read most of that history in the Prabhupada Lilamrita.
我们可以在帕帕的 Lilamrita 他的书籍当中的话呢，都能看到很多的这方面的故事的记载。
Anything else?
Okay, yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more. okay.
Okay.
okay, 我们来看下面的Rajendra Prabhu 的问题。感恩帕布和翻译听到帕帕的强硬话语，不仅没失望，更激励自我勇往直前。Prana Sadma, 不再看8:20的脸啊，多看极乐的脸，信心爆棚。什么是8:20的脸？是不是打错字了？Rajendra Prabhu, 那我就直接翻译了。So Rajendra Prabhu says that he thank you very much for your lecture. After hearing what Papa said, you know, the very harsh words, and he doesn't feel, I don't feel discouraged. I actually feel more inspired and more courageous enough to move forward. Prana Satma. So,Yeah, to have more confidence now, more faith now.
Oh, good. I'm happy. Me too. You know, I feel the same way, actually.
Oh, Guru 说，我也是更加激励自我，更加有勇气的。然后我也是跟你这种感觉是一样的。
Yeah, Krishna consciousness is not a cheap thing. It's you're actually higher conscious.
就 Krishna 知觉并不是一种很廉价的东西，你真正能够通过修习 Krishna 知觉而获得更。
To be conscious of Krishna and not be happy, it's not possible.
一个人怎么可能在不快乐、不幸福的情况下还能觉知到 Krishna 呢？这是不可能发生的。
Yeah, so Prabhupada is speaking the truth, and when we hear the truth, it should make us happy.
所以帕帕当时所说的那番话真的就是真理，而且应该真的是。
So thank you, Rajendra Prabhu, for your positive.
我的这个非常积极的回应啊。okay. Next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sumukhi Radha Mataji is asking on behalf of someone else.So, this Mataji is asking that, you know, I have a kid and I have found out that I have picked the wrong person. What to do?
Most of us face.
That's a dilemma of what?
Most.
那么你所谈到的这个发现选错了结婚对象的话，这实际上是大多数人都面对的一个难题。
Yeah, most people that stay married, it's not because of reasons for love.
而大多数人选择留在婚姻当中，并不是出于这种爱情的原因。
Because there are other people involved.
而是由于在婚姻当中还有其他人 牵涉到其中，然后才不得不继续留在婚姻当中的。
Yeah, when you get married, you have kids, you have other family, you know, then you have two families together.
当两人结婚的时候，不仅有子女的诞生，并且还有夫妻双方的家人也牵涉到其中。
It's not easy, or even recommended to leave that person, even if you're incompatible with them.
所以说的话呢，即使是和自己的伴侣不契合、不匹配，但是的话都要离开对方，并不是那么容易的。但也不建议，也不推荐去因为两个人不契合而这个离婚。
It causes problem for the children, for the family.
因为这样的话呢，会给孩子，然后并且会给家庭带来很大的问题。
And financially, it's not always possible either.
并且从这个钱的方面来看的话呢，也并不总是那么可。
No children. It's an.
如果你们之间没有孩子，或者是没有离婚的话呢，可能就是一个更加容易的选择了。
And even then, even if you leave that person, there's no guarantee that you'll be happier with someone else. You might find again you picked the wrong person.
而即使是你真的离开了对方，但也并没有任何的保证，就是你会在接下来找到的伴侣那里找对了人，然后很有可能你会再次的选错了伴侣。
So, you know, of course, it's an individual decision.
当然的话呢，离开不离开对方，这个婚姻伴侣哈，它是一个很个人的、很个体的这样一个决定。
But if there, you know, if there isn't, you know, severe emotional abuse or physical abuse, I never recommend leaving the relationship. For a devotee, I say turn it into, you know, a positive, an opportunity to leave the material world.
OK, 而我对于奉献者来说的话呢，我往往都不推荐离婚，然后除非就是婚姻当中有这种极度的这种情绪上的虐待，或者是极度的这种躯体上的这种虐待的话，然后我都不推荐奉献者离婚，而反而奉献者应该把这样的一段婚姻转变成一种积极的正面的机会，来帮助自己离开这个物质世界。
What I mean by leaving the material world, I mean leaving material consciousness.
而我提到的这个离开物质世界，这个意思是指离开我们的这种物质层面的知觉。
Give up thinking about yourself.
放弃这种总是想着自己，总是考虑着自己。然后觉醒。
Just be.
Just be all translate.
Just be.
It's just difficult to translate into Chinese.
I know. I mean, that's simply, that's, you know, that's how we wake up.
So we
discover our life now and just be.
所以说去发现当下此刻我们生命的真相。然后就去做，就是成为我们生命的真相，就一直以生命的真相来过自己的人生。
Okay.
Okay. Okay, next one.
Anyway, tell that devotee she's not alone. Most people are the same.
所以说给这位问问题的这位巴拉吉回答哈，就说你不是独自唯一一个，然后才发现结婚生子以后选错了怎么办，有很多很多人都面临着同样的问题的。
Okay,
next one. Govinda Nandini Madaji 问的问题，感谢咕噜精彩的讲课，请问咕噜，如果双方以奉献者的身份结婚，但结婚后发现还对对方有期待，不仅物质上还有灵性上都抱有期待，那该怎么办？ So Govinda Nandini Madaji is asking that what if, you know, like both devotees got married, you know, they got married because as devotees Okay, and after married, they still can see that they have expectations towards each other, not only materially but also spiritually, having expectations. So what should they do?
Lower your expectations.
比如说，请你降低你的期望值。
Yeah, expectations are a function of the mind, not of the self.
嗯，因为这个期望的话呢，是心意的功能，而并不是真正的自我的这种本质，自我的功能。
Yeah, so start living from your being and not the mind.
嗯，所以说，请你首先以你真正的存在、真正的自我来过自己的人生，而不是基于你的心意来过你的人生。
Yeah, take it as an opportunity to become a real devotee and be happy within.
嗯，然后把婚姻作为一次很好的机会来推动自己以成为一位真正的奉献者。To become a real devotee and what?
Find happiness within.
嗯，并且把婚姻作为一次机会来开始寻找内在的快乐和幸福。
Yeah, so realize that when you expect someone to be different than they are, and when you hold that expectation, you feel dissatisfied.
嗯，当你期望一个人成为不同的一个人的时候，你期望对方有所改变，期望对方成为一个跟他表现出来的这个模样是完全不一样的时候，当你带有这样一种期望，那么你只会感到失望，然后感到不满足、不满意而已。
Coming from your attachment to that expectation, not because the other person isn't living up to your expectation.
Not because, okay. 而你的这种不满意、不满足是来源于你对于自己期望的这种执念，对于这种内心的期望的依附，而并不是由于你的这种不满足、不满意是来自于对方没有达到你的期望，来源于这个原因的。
So that's one of the biggest lessons on the path for us to learn.
嗯，所以这就是我们要在人生这条道路上所学到的。嗯，而这个课题就是没有任何人能够让我们快乐，除了我们的心意之外。
So lower your expectations and find your inner happiness.
所以说降低你的期望值，并且开始从内寻求快乐幸福。
I wish you well.
嗯，祝你一切都好。Okay.
Okay.
Okay, next one. Rajendra Prabhu 问的 ,Guru, 您的确经验丰富。所以建议中国适龄奉献者去询问你，最好不要询问遵守生。So Rajendra Prabhu saying that, you are really, really experienced. So I suggest that those devotees, Chinese devotees who are about to get married should, get consultation with you, not asking,not consulting brahmacharis.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, that's not the business of a brahmachari or a sannyasi.
嗯，当然，就是我们都知道，就是这个去询问婚姻或者是询问这方面的话呢，这并不是遵守生，也不是 sannyasi 该做的事儿。
Actually, in the Vedic culture, generally, the guru is a householder, not a sannyasi or a brahmachari.
Guru is a householder, not a sannyasi, not a brahmachari.
Yeah.
那么在韦达文化当中的话呢，灵性导师都是居士，而不是 sannyasi， 也不是遵守生。
And especially if you are a brahmachari or a sannyasi, then you're encouraged to take, you know, shiksha from sannyasis. But if you're a householder or intending to become a householder, then you're encouraged to take shiksha from a householder because they know, the sannyasis and the brahmacharis, they don't know.
I see. 所以说如果你要是一位遵守生或者是一位sannyasi的话，那么就应该从 另一位遵守神，或者是另一位三尼亚西那里得到 shiksha， 得到宣誓。而如果你是一位居士，或者是你准备成为一名居士的话，那就应该从另一位居士那里去获得 shiksha， 因为只有居士灵性导师才能明白你的问题嘛。然后而遵守神和三尼亚西是无法明白居士所面临的问题的。
I'm just having a good time. trying to.
对，我就只是唉，尽量使这个谈话保持轻松愉悦一点。Next one.
Yeah.
OK， 我们来看下一位奉献者说的，叫曹静轩 Olivia Mataji 所说的。感恩 Maharaja， 请问人一生的合适伴侣是会在不同的时期出现不同的人呢，还是只会有一位最合适的呢？感恩翻译的姐妹 Hi Krishna. So Olivia, this Mataji is asking that trying to find the proper way to say. So is there only one person that is suitable for one, you know, like,is there only one suitable life partner, or at different life phases there are actually different suitable life partners?
Well, we go through different phases, and ideally we go through all those phases with the same person.
我们每个人都会经历不同的人生阶段，那么在理想情况下我们能够和一位人生伴侣在一起共度所有不同的人生阶段。
Right, we grow by overcoming challenges. That's how we progress.
而我们通过和这一位人生伴侣共同来克服、战胜挑战，然后来一起共同的成长。
If we decide not to take the test,then the test just gets postponed, and eventually we have to take it.
而如果我们要是，那么最终这个考验，然后就会被推迟。The test get postponed, and
we have to take it another time. It's not like we can skip it.
I see. 那么当我们决定不去面对考验的话，那么这考验被推迟了，那就只会在另一个时间段再次出现，而并不是说这个考验它就会自行消失的。
So in the big particular mission, right? You know, some areas that we need to improve and over and transcend.
那么从更大的这个角度来看，从一个更大的一个格局来看，我们每个人出生诞生的话呢，都带有一个特定的目的，带有一个特定的这种使命在其中的，那就是在某些人生领域当中，我们必须要改进自己，必须要超越自己，超越这个人生领域。
I'm running out of time now.
Yeah, two of them. it's sort of two, yeah. So maybe next time?
Or one person asked two questions?
Two people saying, one sounds like a statement, very short, another one is actually some description about her life.
Okay, we'll do this and then finish up.
Oh, okay.我们再来看接下来的这个两个奉献者说的。So the first one is a short statement. So Dopati Mataji 说，物质世界没什么快乐，就不要强求了，专注于生命的快乐吧。So she says that there is no happiness in the material world, so do not force oneself to get it. Just focus on the holy name.
Yes.
是的。
And that's it?
Yeah, that's a short statement. But another one, Kaixin Mataji says, you know, a statement about her life.
Okay, well, let's hear that.
Okay, 好，我们再来看 Kaixin Mataji 所说的，感谢 Guru, 确实有孩子的婚姻是 尽量不要离婚。我是为了女儿坚持了十年，到去年的时候因为影响太大，不离我可能就已经不在了，所以没办法只能离婚了，对我身体影响非常大，在过去的九年里也差不多要了我，所以没办法只能忍痛放弃结束婚姻，现在我才慢慢好起来。So Kaishi Malachi said that thank you very much. Having a kid, having a child in a marriage, so in this way, better not to divorce. I actually, for the sake of my daughter, I hung on there, you know, for 10 years in my marriage. But because last year I had too much influence from the partner, so without the divorce, I feel like just couldn't survive anymore. So I had to divorce him because the marriage had a great impact on my physical health over the past 9 years. I almost feel like I could have died several times. So until last year, that my body couldn't handle it anymore. So I had no other way just to tolerate and give up the marriage. And now gradually, I start becoming better.
Yeah, it's a very individual decision, you know, that each person has to make. And it, you know, that may have been the best decision.
Enough or may have been.
It may have, yeah. It sounds like for her it was.
所以说你提到的这个离婚的话呢，确实是这种个体的一个决定，每个人所面临的状况都是不一样的，而每个人都必须要根据自己的人生状况来做出决定。而听到你这样说的话呢，有确实听起来这应可能是你做到的最好的决定了。
Yeah. Either way, you know, the only happiness is within and being absorbed in chanting the holy name.
而无论是结婚还是离婚，无论是哪种选择的话呢，我们唯一能够获得快乐的方式就是从内去寻找，然后专注于圣名的念诵。
And really, it's the misery of the material world that maybe actually brings us to the holy name to begin with.
而确实真的就是由于这个物质世界所带来的痛苦，使得我们开始想要去念诵圣名，使得我们开始接触到圣名。
Yeah, so in this way, all the misery we've experienced up to this point is a good thing if it brings us to chanting the holy name.
所有曾经遭受过的苦难，如果能够把我们带到圣名的面前，那么这些苦难就真的是值得的。
Okay, on that note, let's end the class. See you next week.
所以说讲到这里的话呢，我就跟今天给大家说再见了，然后我们就跟下个星期的早课再见。
My obeisances to all of you.
我谦卑的顶拜众位。
Our voice of Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam and thank you Narayani and Sumukhi Mataji. Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 所有的荣耀都归于帕帕和圣简博加瓦坦。圣简博加。外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。